Have you ever wondered if you're in a toxic business relationship, or better yet, how to get into one without it becoming a toxic business relationship? Well, that's exactly what we're going to cover on this week's episode. Welcome back to another episode of an Investor's Journey podcast. I am your host, Jonathan Barbera. And I wanted to first do a little bit of housekeeping, and I wanted to remind you guys of our Tuesday live Facebook calls, all right? So we're going to do one this Tuesday, and it's going to be from a local wholesaler that does not have decades of experience in this, but he has been growing from nothing as a wholesaler to now he's starting to scale into flips and buy and hold. And we're going to be interviewing him on how he did it, what his marketing tactics are, how he's been able to grow, and challenges he's faced, especially with the whole COVID thing and how he's dealing with sellers now. So we're going to cover all of that. It's going to be live. You can join us and ask any questions to him, and it'll be a lot of fun. So we have that. We also have the Investor's Digest that you can sign up for on our website. And that goes out weekly, and we cover, you know, the stuff that's going on in the news. We cover pretty much everything. We share a lot of information from stuff that we're doing, stuff that we're seeing. So it's a great digest that you get every single week, a good read to keep your finger on the pulse. Also, make sure to like our Facebook and our YouTube channel, because there you're going to be able to see all of our lives. You're going to be able to see our walkthrough videos. We just started 3 new builds in downtown San Antonio in the historic district. So you'll be able to see that journey. So make sure to go on our Facebook at Prime Homes and our YouTube channel and subscribe there, where you're going to be able to stay up to date with everything that's going on. So with that being said, I wanted to get into this episode and talk about toxic partnerships. So I see, especially right now, there's a ton of people getting into partnerships, right? Working with a lot of people with when it comes time to marketing, when it comes time to taking deals down, because the amount of deals has actually dropped, right? Not too many sellers are in the market right now, and it's gotten a lot tougher, and you got to be a lot more creative when you're talking to the sellers, when you're negotiating, when you're doing all of this. So I've been seeing a lot of people get into partnerships, and some partnerships are really, really bad partnerships, especially when you are doing a deal that's maybe not going to be a quick deal. It might take years for the deal to come together. If you're in a very bad partnership, trust me, that deal becomes a nightmare to be a part of. So you don't want to do that to yourself. So we're here to share 7 signs that I want you to watch out for to let you know that you're in a toxic partnership. And then we're going to share the 5 tips on how to avoid them and how to make sure you don't get into one moving forward. All right. So number one on things to watch out for is somebody that, if you're already in a partnership and you are experiencing a lack of support, right? A lack of support, maybe even judgment from this person. And what I mean by that is we make mistakes, right? We make mistakes all the time in business and doing deals, negotiation, whatever it is. Now, does this partner support you when you make those mistakes, or do they criticize you, right? Do they judge you for these mistakes? That's not a good partnership to be in. Between John and I, the reason we've been such great partners going on, 5, 6 years together now, is we don't judge each other, right? We've screwed up. We screw up plenty of times. We screw up with contractors. We screw up with bids. We screw up with a lot of things. And it's like, all right, shit, I screwed up. But we both know that we're going to do whatever needs to get done to make sure we repair that or it doesn't happen again. But neither one of us is going to get on the other one saying, man, you're so stupid. You know, you can't be doing those things, or bringing the other one down. That helps nobody. You understand? Like you, if you're partners, you need to protect each other. And judging each other and not supporting each other is not protection. All right. All you're doing is bringing the other person's morale down, or yourself, right? Where it gets to a point where now you start second guessing everything you're doing. And that's not good. It's not good for a business. It's not good for a partnership. Number 2, undervaluing your contributions. This is a very important point, because it happens a lot, especially it happens a lot in times like this where deals are a little more scarce and people really need the money. So they'll value their part of the partnership more than your part of the partnership, because everybody values the work they do more than the work somebody else does. It doesn't matter what it is, but somebody's always going to value their side more than yours, because that's the work that they're doing, right? The work that you do, that's your work. So to them, it's like, well, I don't know. I don't know what's involved in that. And that's their stuff. So it might work, it might not work. But for you, it matters, right? It matters on both ends. You need to be able to have somebody that values your contribution. And if you are with somebody that they're like, yeah, but you know, you only did this, so it's not really worth all that much. But to you, it is. Like, you got to be open about these things. You got to make sure to nip this in the butt, because it's always going to be an issue moving forward. And when you're one of the partners that maybe you do a lot, right? Or you do a lot of the legwork, and the other person doesn't value that because they do maybe a lot of the, you know, business side of it, right? And they're generating money or whatever it is, but you're doing all the legwork. They're like, well, you know, this is a lot more valuable than what you do. It's like, well, if I didn't do it, would you be able to do this other stuff? You know, if the answer is no, then it's like, okay, then it is valuable. Now you got to determine what that value is, but it's valuable, right? So you got to have somebody that values your contributions. Ego. I've talked about this before. Ego is by far one of the biggest problems people have in partnerships. Somebody that just has that massive ego that they never take personal responsibility for things. They're never wrong. It's never their fault, right? It always has to be them. They have to be involved in everything. They don't want you to get any recognition because they want the recognition. Somebody that has an ego is a dangerous person to be partners with, because it just, it becomes a nightmare to work with somebody like that. They're going to screw up and they're going to blame a billion things of why that screw up happened, but it wasn't their fault. It's never their fault. The problem with this is that if, and this goes to you too, if you are somebody that's like that, and don't lie to yourself, but your ego may not allow you to, if you screw up and every time there's a screw up, a delay, an issue, and you're always blaming something else, you're never going to learn, right? You're never going to learn, and you're never going to not make that mistake moving forward. All you're guaranteeing is that that mistake is going to happen again and again and again, because you are acting like you have no fault in anything that happens in your life, and you act like you have no control in anything that happens in your life. So when you're doing that, it makes it very hard for you to learn from your mistakes and from issues like this. So ego is such a big thing to watch out for. If you're working with somebody that has a huge ego and they act that way, it's gonna only get worse working with them. We see this a lot with contractors where there's delays on the job, on everything, and it's never their fault. It's always this person, that person, the material, whatever. And it's like, no, dude, it's always your fault. You're the one managing the project. You screwed up. You understand? You should have anticipated this. You should have seen that coming. And it's not to point fingers, but it's like, if you take responsibility, you become better and you learn and you do the next deal much better and the next project much better. So I hope that's making sense. Another point, greed. If you have a partner that is always talking about money, right? Everything, money, money, money. We got to make sure to get more money. We got to make sure, you know, we squeeze every dime out of this and we get that, and it's money this, money that. That person is going to be a nightmare to work with, because every decision that gets made is going to be revolved around money. Now, why is this a problem? In every business, especially when you're starting off, it's very hard to be really profitable. It takes time. You know, it's like planting a seed. You can't plant the seed and then go tomorrow and pick up whatever grew, because it doesn't grow that quick. You got to give it time. You got to nurture it. You got to take care of it and let it grow. Somebody that's greedy never gives that amount of time. They're always taking and taking and taking and taking and trying to cut corners or trying to screw somebody over for more money. These are crucial, crucial things that you need to be careful for. And this is something that early on in our partnership with John, it happened where we were very, very broke. And we were managing, we did lead management for people that did a lot of marketing. And we wholesaled the deal. We did everything. And we got, it was like 15 grand, right? So it was $15,000. And the deal was that we had to split it with them. And at the time, John and I were broke. Like, I'm talking about negative broke, right? And that money would have been great. And that other person would not have known how much we wholesaled it for. We could have just told them their cut is $1,000 and they would have just accepted it. But, you know, when we talked about it with John, neither one of us was comfortable doing it. You understand? We were like, no, we agreed to this and that's what's right. And that is what made our partnership even stronger at that moment. It was a very pivotal point in our partnership because it was a point that could have defined whether we kept doing that moving forward or not, pretty much, at least in my opinion, right? I think it would have been one of those moments that it's like, if you screw somebody over now, what's to stop you from screwing other people over later? And if you do it for a couple $1,000, then that's your price, right? You'll screw anybody over for anything. So that was something that we both agreed on. We've never done it. We've never screwed anybody over. Even when we're hurting for money, everybody's always taken care of. And we do everything the way we say we're going to do it. You understand? And that's what makes our partnership great. Because unlike a lot of people, we actually have a conscience. And it's hard to sleep at night if you know you did something wrong. So greed is very powerful. And it can ruin a lot of relationships and a lot of partnerships. Again, I'm not saying money is bad or that you shouldn't want to make money. Of course, we're all in this to make money, but make sure it's not the priority. If it is the priority, if it is the only focus, you're always going to make all the wrong decisions for it. And I see it time and time again on people that are doing it consistently. I know people that are syndicating apartment buildings and all this, and they're greedy as shit. And the people they're syndicating from, their money is at risk at all times. You understand? Like, it is sick and it's crazy, and I hope nothing ever happens to those people because those investors are going to lose their ass, but that's just the business, right? So just make sure that you're not with somebody greedy. Also, make sure you're not with somebody that's high stress, because you don't want to be in a hostile environment, right? You don't want to be in a place where you're like just you're almost dreading the next day because it's so stressful working with this person. They're always so anxious. They're always worried about something. Everything is always, you know, a massive problem. It doesn't matter what it is. It's always a big deal. It's always a huge issue. You want to be careful with people like that, because in business, you're always going to have problems. You're always going to have challenges. And if you approach every single problem and every single challenge like it's a catastrophic event, then it gets very exhausting. You understand? Not every time something happens, the sky's falling. You understand? Like, shit happens. Problems happen. You just got to be with somebody that's willing to just, you know, what do they say here? Like, strap up your boots and just get to work. You get what I'm saying? I mean, we've been through it with John plenty of times that we've been in projects and stuff. We're like, oh, crap, this is looking really bad. And all right, instead of complaining about it, all we do is we just strap up and we're like, all right, let's just get to work. We got to get through this. We got to make it work the best we can. And that's it. It's not sitting, complaining, bitching, moaning, whining. It gets you nowhere. You still got to do it. You still got to get it done. What does complaining get you? So make sure, you know, you're not in a high stress situation, because you're just going to get burned out very quickly. Insecurity. There are people out there that have high insecurities. Now, this doesn't always come off as somebody that's timid, as somebody that, you know, second guesses themselves. A lot of time, insecurity comes in a way of ego, in a way of, you know, breaking shit, because, you know, they're very insecure, but they're not going to show that. So then they overcorrect. So you want to make sure to be able to read somebody when you see a lot of insecurity in them, that maybe they have a low self-esteem, whatever it may be that's causing that insecurity is going to reflect on your business. All right. Maybe it's something in their personal life. Like, John and I know each other's personal lives very, very well, because anything that happens at home reflects on the business and vice versa. So there's a lot of people that they talk about work-life balance and how to separate them. You can't. They're integrated. Work and your life are both integrated. There's no separation. You can't just get home and the switch gets flipped and I'm home. You know, if you own your own business, there's a lot of times that you're home and you're thinking about, especially if you have problems coming up or if you have a big deal that's closing soon, they're always in your head and that's going to interfere with your life. And then if you have a problem at home, right, it comes into your business. Right. And then you bring it into your business and maybe you're not being as productive at your business. These things need to be communicated. And if you're having insecurity issues and stuff like that, you need to see that from your partner and understand that, because that is something that's going to create more problems. And that's what's going to create more lack of support and judgment. Somebody that has high insecurity tend to judge others more because it's more of a projection of their own problems. So you want to make sure to catch that. And the last thing on what to watch out for is people that are perfectionists. So people that are perfectionists, one of the biggest challenges I see is they never execute. They're always waiting for that perfect thing and they never pull the trigger. So you want to make sure that you're not with somebody that's a perfectionist. You want to be with somebody that, and don't get me wrong, I am a perfectionist myself, but I also have another thing that done is better than perfect, and I'll perfect it later, right? One thing that I can't stand is not taking action. So even when I started with these podcasts, when I started with the videos, when I was doing all of this stuff, they weren't perfect at first. And every time I put out a video, even now, after I put this one out, I know I'm going to go back. I'm like, damn, I should have said this. I should have done that. I should do this, should do that. Okay, I'll change it for the next one. But this one is done, right? I got to do it. It has to be put out. You can't wait until everything is perfect, because then somebody else like me is going to put it out before you, or it's going to get it done before you. And now you just don't get anything. And it's the same with houses. Well, I got to run, you know, all these analysis and make sure the offer is concrete and all that. And dude, just put the offer. Just put in the offer. Forget about being perfect. All right, get close. You'll get perfect moving forward. You'll get better at this. But if you just don't do anything, people like myself are always going to beat you. So make sure you're not with somebody that's too much of a perfectionist that it paralyzes them when it comes time to executing. All right. So now, what are the five things that you're going to be able to do to avoid these toxic relationships and make sure that when you jump into a partnership with somebody, it's the right one? All right. So we're going to cover these and hopefully this helps out. So number one, you want to set clear roles, all right? Clear roles. You handle this, I handle that. You understand? You want to make sure that it's not a free-for-all where, you know, well, you know, let's get to work and we'll handle whatever it is. Because what ends up happening a lot of the times is one person ends up taking more than the other. And or the other person just doesn't know where their job begins and the other one ends and all this. So then it's like, well, I don't know. Did you do this? Did I do this? And it creates so much confusion. It creates more problems, more chaos. And then it also hurts when it comes down to compensation, right? If you don't divide things correctly, how are you going to compensate each other for this? Is it a 50-50 split? Then is the work 50-50? You understand? So what is this person doing? What are you doing? Is it a 50-50 split? Is it not? You got to agree to all these things beforehand. You know, screw it, man. Let's just get it done. Let's just work together. You know, we both want to do this. We don't have shit. We both want to do, you know, be great and become a millionaire. Everybody wants to become a millionaire. So it's like, let's just get to it. Yeah, but once the deal comes in, then it's like, well, dude, you know, I made like 4 trips to the house. You didn't make any, you know, so it's like, I don't think 50-50 makes sense, even though, yeah, you probably handle the title work and all that. But, you know, I had to go there and I spent like 2 hours talking to them. So I spent more time. So then everybody starts kind of validating why their time is worth more than the other person's. So now it becomes a lot of, you know, well, going back to the undervaluing. Right? It gets to that point where now they're undervaluing your contribution, your work, you know, and you feel attacked or vice versa. So it's better to set these roles up front. What are you going to do? You know, we like to break things down into sections. So you have marketing, you have acquisitions, you have title work, you have, you know, managing the rehab, you have bring in the money. So depends on what you do. Like when we partner with somebody on a flip, so wholesalers bring us properties and we partner with them on a flip. We do a third for bringing the deal. 30% for bringing a deal, 40% for managing the project, because that's the bulk of the work, and then 30% for whoever brings the money. So the money is worth 30%, the managing the project is worth 40%, and bringing the deal is worth 30%. That's it. So did you bring the deal and the money? Great, you get 60%. Did you bring the deal and we brought the construction and the money? Then you get 30%, right? Whatever it is. But clear rules up front of what the splits are going to be, what the compensation, what the responsibilities are. It's going to prevent a lot of problems and a lot of confusions. Number two, set clear expectations. So again, where does your job begin and end? What are the clear expectations? What are we trying to achieve this week, this month, this 6 months, this year, this quarter, whatever it is? Clear expectations. Because a lot of times you kind of just put your head down, get to work, and there's no clear expectations. And then it's like, well, who's doing what? Where are we shooting for? Where are we going? It creates confusion, it creates chaos. You're doing this, they're doing that. And there's no cohesiveness, right? Because you never set clear expectations on what their job is, what your job is, what the ultimate goal for the business is. So you want to make sure you take the time and set those expectations up front. Set them up up front. This is what we're trying for. This is what it is. It's okay if they change as they move forward, especially goals for a business. They're always changing, right? You get something like what happened right now with the COVID and shit, everything changes again. Now you got to reevaluate your whole business. That's fine. But you got to set those clear expectations up front. And then when you have to reevaluate, you sit down, reevaluate them and reset them and set them up again. All right. So number two, set clear expectations. Number three, make sure your goals are aligned. So why does this matter? Because if somebody's goal is to say, you know, I just want to do a couple deals a year, right? And I just need enough to just kind of supplement my income and I'm more than happy. But your goal is to build this massive company and you want to cross state lines and you want to do them everywhere. It's two completely different mindsets. You understand? Like, it's two completely different people. This person wants to hang out and kind of do a few deals here and there. And the other person needs to do volume, build a business, get employees, build systems. Like, you're going to be overworking yourself because you're partnered with the wrong person. You understand? So you got to make sure your goals are aligned. And it goes back to greed. If somebody's like, I just want money. I just want to make money. I don't even care what the deal looks like. I just want to make money. And you're like, well, I do care because I want to learn how the deals are structured, how everything is done. Because if the market changes and stuff, it makes me a better investor, right? So now you got to be careful with that, because whenever a good deal comes that you can learn from, all they're going to try to do is get rid of it as quickly as possible to make money, because their target is money. While you rather just hold on to it, partner with somebody, even though it means less money, but you're going to learn more about it. You understand? I'm not saying either is good or bad. I'm just saying, like, you cannot be that different. You understand? You got to be aligned. And with John and I, same thing. When we got together, I told him, look, I don't care about the money. Yes, we both need money to live. We're broke as hell. But what I care about is building a very strong business that's going to last through the years. You understand? I don't want to just make money today. I want to be able to make money 20, 30, 40 years from now. You understand? So I want to make sure that we learn everything that we can about structuring deals, about building the business, about marketing, about everything. I want to make sure we become a real investment company. And John, same thing. So every step that we take, it's always to building a better and bigger company. It's always to get us to that goal, because we're always together and we always sit down. You know, a couple Fridays, you know, usually every Friday we sit down and have kind of like a little happy hour. And we kind of just, not deliberately, but we always go over our goal, right? We always go over like, yeah, you know, we want to grow the business. This is what we want. We would love to be able to invest in other cities, other states, and grow this way and grow that way and create this and create that. And we're always checking on each other, kind of like just checking, are we both still aligned? You understand? So, and it's always a yes. And that's why we work so well. That's why we don't have any issues. We don't argue with each other. You understand? Like, it's a very good partnership because of that. So make sure your goals are aligned. Number four, start small. If you are just starting as a partnership, start small. Don't start with a massive project, right? Don't start with a massive investment in marketing or whatever it is. Don't start with something that's that big that's going to create a long-time commitment. Start with something small, with something that if the partnership doesn't work a few months from now, you can just walk away. You know what I mean? There's nothing tying you to this partnership, because we've made the mistake where we started, you know, a partnership of a long-term project with people that after a few months of being there, we're like, shit, not the people we want to be partnering with, right? But we're in it now, right? We were in it and we had to go through the whole project. And as soon as the project was done, we were gone. Like, that was it. And they're like, oh, are we doing a no? We're done. Like, it was a nightmare working with you, you know? So start small. It gives you a chance to test them out and test everything out. And really avoid those big mistakes that you're going to regret later. And finally, the last point, and one of the most important points, is get it in writing. All right. A lot of people, they're always like, oh, you can trust me. You know, my word is bond, or, you know, I shake hands and that's what it is. Bullshit. Every time somebody says something like that, they're the first ones to screw you over. All right. Don't fall for it. Don't be stupid enough to believe that. You want everything in writing. It protects you and it protects them. If they're strongly against it, don't partner with them. But you want everything in writing. All of these points. What are your roles? What are my roles? What are the compensations? What is the tactic? How long are we planning on doing this? What is, you know, everything. What are we targeting? What's the name? Well, how's the entity set up? Are we doing an entity? Are we not? How's the bank account? Who manages that? Who does this? Who pays this? Who handles the bills? You want all of it in writing, because trust me, when money becomes an issue, or money doesn't become an issue where all of a sudden you're making a ton of it, it will become an issue, right? Because at that point, greed steps in, ego steps in even further. You know, money only amplifies who you already are. The thing is that when you're broke, sometimes you just don't show much. But when you start making money, or there's more money on the table, all of a sudden you start seeing who this person really is. So you want to make sure that you have the right contracts and everything in place to protect you on all these kind of things that can screw you up. All right. So there you have it. 7 things to watch out for and 5 things to do to make sure it doesn't happen. So I hope this helps. I hope you can, if you are in a toxic partnership, and even though if you feel like you need to be there and this is, you know, it's the only option I have, trust me, it's not. Leave it. The sooner you cut, the sooner you can move on and start something better, something new. Don't linger on it, because all it's going to do is it's just going to drag on. It's going to make you deeper into it, where it's going to become nearly impossible to get out later. And it's only going to make you more miserable. You have one life to live. Don't live it with regrets, all right? The only regret you should have is not leaving sooner. So leave right now. Now is always the best time to leave. And if you're going to get into a partnership, make sure you follow the 5 points and be honest with yourself. If there's one of these that you're like, man, they just don't meet this one, don't do it. Because that one, it becomes the biggest point later on. You understand? So don't do that to yourself. Trust me, there's so much opportunity in this world. You don't want to cripple yourself by partnering with the wrong person. So I hope you guys enjoy this. And again, like I said, subscribe to our YouTube, follow us on Facebook. We have the live calls on Tuesday. You know, so check us out, subscribe to our newsletter, a lot of information, a lot of news, a lot of stuff that we share with you guys. And like always, any questions you guys have, reach out. We're always here to help. And we're here for you and anything that you need. So I hope this helps. I hope this helps you with your partnerships. Good luck with all your investment, and I will catch you on the next one.